can't spend it. It's just not good. We've got five heads are outside. As you can see here also, I have strings that are new.
Break them in.
She used to work in a diner. Never saw a woman look finer. I used to order just to watch her float across the floor. She grew up in a small town. Never put her roots down. Her daddy kept moving, so she went to somewhere on the dancing highway. She rides a Harley Davidson. She's been running half of her life on crawling steel. She rides, colliding with the very air she breathes. The air she breathes. Going ain't easy. You got to hold on. She wasn't a no legend in her time. Now she's dressing to kiss, looking for that magic kiss. She gets that following look in her eyes. Somewhere on a desert highway, she rides a Harley Davidson. She's been running half of her life on chrome and steel. She rides, colliding with the very air she breathes. The air she
song
for
tonight.
All right, for the theme song. Barbara, I'm up, huh? Yep. Okay, let me get a break. Okay, first of all, I have show and tell. Excellent. I bring everyone their own individual copy of the catalog of the University of South Carolina. Oh, cool, cool. Yours to take home, order books. So this is like their logo?
No, this is the...
It's the Wolf
books. There are lots of books. There are.
That's the Wolf cover.
I didn't want to read these. Right. This is the cover of the...
All right, so that's right. I saw the continuity. I was wondering if that was... Okay.
Right.
Am I supposed to bust out the book?
Yeah, well, you can bust out the book if you want.
Bust it out.
Huh! Tom! Huh!
Tom Wolf. So Thomas Wolf is a rapper.
I want you all to take note of the acknowledgments page on which the names of Ray Soulard Jr. and Barbara Brannon appear in the acknowledgments for the historic printing of Thomas Wolfe's Look Homeward, Angel, as he originally wrote it, with many thanks for proofreading every word and every punctuation mark in this book.
Cheers.
To our fearless leaders.
Cheers. Punctiliousness and exactitude. Right.
And a lot of other bull.
Whatever I said.
All right, all the horror happy horseshit too, yeah. Oh, right, I remember you telling me about that project, I think.
Hey, they paid me.
About proofreading?
Yeah, but that's great to get that acknowledgement, though. I think that's really pretty cool. And you too, by the way.
Well,
it was a hell of a project.
She's the managing editor.
It was Ray who made the book what it is.
It's Thomas Wolfe who made the book what it is.
Before that, yeah, long before Ray made it what it is today.
Thomas Wolfe, yes.
Brett Chappell, I know
him. I mean, not personally, but I know his stuff.
Yeah.
I read a book his once. Oh,
yeah.
I think it's quite an accomplishment, really.
Really?
Yeah, he's
quite an accomplishment. I bet he is.
Yes.
It really is.
Julio Cortazar is wonderful. You ever read anything by Julio Cortazar?
And
he wrote Lola, he wrote a novel that they made a movie out of. Wow.
All right, well, enjoy.
All right.
All right, I want to read three poems tonight. The first is something that, as I looked at, I realized it had been 2 years, nearly 2 years now, since the 10th anniversary meeting of the Jellicoe Guild, if you remember that one.
Don't make me remember, Jim says.
On that occasion...
I had a table with some of my...
I think I remember that table.
Anyhow.
Well... I understand that, you know, that the owner of Roma's is no longer Alex, but Alex was your patient host for a long time, right?
Mm-hmm. There's
right?
the man.
All right, well, this poem is Alex's sonnet for the Jellicoe Guild.
Excellent.
Roma's Restaurant, New Britain, Connecticut. I gotta really watch out for that crowd. You get them all together in a bar... and poetry breaks out. Bunch of freaks they are. Or sometimes a fight. When they get too loud or too late, I threaten to throw them out. I count my pitchers and Pilsner glasses. When they're gone, I charge their asses. In the tape deck, what's that all about? There's patrons worse than poets, I suppose, and the fellas almost always tip enough. And that one guy plays some damn good guitar stuff. But this I ask, if anybody knows... For 10 long years, why in the hell do they want to meet here in a Polish restaurant?
Alex. Yes. Alex.
Very to Alex, nice. Wherever he may be.
So a nice tribute.
Believe it or not, that one thing he left out was the haircut.
Well, probably one step ahead of the wall as we speak.
No. Rehab is for quitters.
That was nice.
That was very nice, very sweet.
Yeah,
Well, captured the moment, I hope.
Yeah.
Mama's got a squeeze box, she wears on her chest. And when dad comes home, he never gets no rest. Cause I ain't all that George Bush, just see him sing this song, the music's all right.
Going to be going, what's against you? Better have a good dream tonight.
you have any erotic dreams, and you're going to get arrested in the morning. The dream police are calling my head. They're coming to get me. I'd be better off dead.
Wow.
I can't have a dream because Bush is right there. And if I go back to the White House, they're oh, no, I can't say that. But they, you know, they're going to put it up there. They're going to have
You're cracking up before our eyes. This is wonderful. I'm waiting for you to start drooling soon.
You're going to have Bush there. Jerry, you can't even take a crap.
Jim, your hands are holding two large breasts. The woman is saying to you, take me now. She wants you now, Jim. She says, hold my breasts, not George Bush's thoughts.
Those nipples are going to have little tiny microphones. It's going to be awful.
Speak into the microphone, Jim. Speak into the microphone.
It'll be a challenge to shorten them out.
That's right.
It's really Orwellian.
Yeah.
If Bush gets elected, nothing will be safe.
Nothing will be safe. Nothing's safe now. Nothing's ever been safe.
And there'll be a microphone in every plant. You know, remember, wasn't it Roosevelt that said it?
We're already...
Wasn't it Roosevelt that said it?
A better microphone than the last one.
Well, Bush is going to sing a microphone.
This one picks up your thoughts as well as your words.
He's going to have a bug everywhere. I mean, really.
We'll have to get raid.
That's okay. Warren Tipper will have labels on everything.
Yeah.
And Lieberman will giving out Golden Sewer Awards.
No, I'm glad everybody cares.
Golden Sewer Award for your
even song. Though we disagree, it's good that people care.
We all know that Gloria Tipper will provide enough heat for the whole country.
Well, I mean, Albert and Tipper have already produced at least one thing I really like. Kristen.
Right. I was going to say, which one of those kids? Which one of those girls?
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you, I am just so afraid of this. I'm serious. Bush gets in there. He will appoint. Well, maybe, if it's a Republican Congress, we're dead. They're going to come and arrest us all, and the offense is going to be a member of the Junko Guild, and there's new laws.
Is there any offense to be a member of the Junko Guild?
New laws, class action suit right here. Any and all guilds, you two are going to be. You are going to be known as the leader, ringleaders because you have acknowledgments of Tom Wolfsburg right there.
Yeah, that's true.
You're a managing editor. You're a subversive right there, Bob. She's
one of the long-haired, academic types.
But it's okay. I will definitely go.
You'll come bail me out, right?
I'll bail you out.
So you said this is an essay. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, fourth season retrospective. Buffy. Oh yeah, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the show on the WB Network with Sarah Michelle Gellar. The show based on the rental movie classic with Christy Swanson in the title role. Yeah, that Buffy the Vampire Slayer. The fifth season premiere is set for September 26, 2000. Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie. The original concept was what would happen if a vampire expecting to find a hapless blonde victim instead found a woman who fought back and won. Josh Whedon, alumnus of Wesleyan College and the Roseanne Show, sold the script in Hollywood. Whedon's original script was more serious and dark than the Valley Girl parody the movie was made into. While not a theatrical success, the film did well in movie rentals. Buffy the Vampire Slayer television series. The series began when Joyce Summers moved herself and her daughter to Sunnydale, California to begin life anew after a divorce and her daughter burning down Hemery's gymnasium. Buffy soon realized that Sunnydale stood on the Hellmouth, a portal to the netherworld. Buffy was soon forced back into the role of the Slayer, a chosen one to combat the forces of darkness. Buffy was not to do battle alone. She had her new Watcher. The Watcher's Council was an ancient guild whose role was to find and train the Slayer for her life in war. Buffy's Watcher in the movie has sacrificed himself to protect the girl, and her new Watcher, Rupert Giles, is just as devoted to his ward. In fact, in the third season, the Watcher's Council fired Giles because he was too close to Buffy, because he had developed a father-daughter relationship with the California teen. Buffy's friends aided her as well. Xander Harris began the series as skateboarding, pizza-eating, walking hormone. He has evolved into a working-class hero, walking hormone. He has helped save the world, saved his school, and made love to three beautiful women in Sunnydale, Cordelia Chase, Faith, and Anya. After graduating high school, he has had a series of minimum-wage jobs. While Xander's family could be called dysfunctional, Willow Rosenberg came from the double-income professional household. Originally a shy wallflower, she has changed greatly, exploring a diversity of interests, including Wicca. Even her mother, Joyce, struck the vampire Spike with a fire extinguisher to save her daughter. Her most mysterious helper was Angel. Angel was a vampire cursed by a gypsy to regain his soul and the conscience and guilt that would bring. The first three seasons of the series followed the adventures of Buffy and the Scooby Gang as they survived Sunnydale High. The fourth season found them out on their own at the University of California at Sunnydale or in the world outside high school. Well, the Slayer. Yeah. Talking about Buffy.
Because I love Buffy.
All right.
Buffy's a vampire slayer? Really? Good, excellent.
Cool.
She's a messenger.
Oh, really?
And her, and my little sister.
Well, we'll take the names and grab her.
My little sister and my other sister.
Usually it's the music that brings them around.
I know.
Okay. The Slayer. A recurring theme of the series is how much the character is Buffy and how much is the Vampire Slayer. This theme is played out as Buffy attempted to escape a Watcher's prophecy that she would be killed by Heinrich Joseph Nest, the vampire known as the Master. Or as Buffy tries to just be a normal high school girl, or just have a normal date. Buffy even ran away from home, gave up her first name, and tried to escape the responsibilities of being the Slayer and the guilt of sending her vampire boyfriend to hell to save the world. We have seen two other living Slayers, Kendra and Faith. Each of these women represent a side in the debate. Kendra was a Slayer raised by her Watcher since early childhood to combat evil. Kendra acquired her Slayer powers when the Master drowned Buffy Summers. To Kendra, Buffy was sloppy and not serious about her calling. Faith became the Slayer upon Kendra's death. Where Kendra saw the powers as a sacred duty, Faith saw it as an ability which set Buffy and herself apart from the rest of humanity. Faith was easily corrupted to evil. The fourth season. The characters are no longer students at Sunnydale High. They were exposed to dangers, both pedestrian and supernatural, that they had never dealt with before. They were on their own, living in Stevenson Dorm or in their parents' basement without even Giles' library to go to. And sure, they had saved the world a time or two, but they had never had to deal with the United States government. They would also have to deal with new romantic interests which were not drawn from their local high school gene pool. In their own way, each character changed, finding new interests, new loves, and losing touch with their friends. Spike and Adam, the cybernetic demon, use this fact to divide the Scooby Gang and render the Slayer impotent. They are able to defeat Adam precisely by overcoming all the things which had driven them apart and casting a spell which called upon, quote, the power of the Slayer and all who yield it, last to ancient first, unquote, to allow them to work as one. Willow is spirit, Xander is heart, Giles is mind, and Buffy as hand. The themes which played out throughout the season were also played out in the dreams of the four characters. Joss says the season is about freedom, the fourth season is about freedom and identity change, as reported in sci-fi.com. In the October issue of Sci-Fi, it was noted that the fourth season finale was a preview of the themes for the fifth season. The season finale. Written and directed by Buffy the Vampire Slayer Joss Whedon, the season's finale, Restless, was a fitting end to a complex and exciting fourth year. The series, which debuted in 1997, chronicles the adventures of Buffy Summers, this generation's Slayer, and her friends, nicknamed the Scooby Gang, as they combat monsters, demons, and, of course, vampires. This season, the Scooby Gang went off to the University of Sunnydale, California, and encountered lifestyle changes as well as blood-sucking fiends. The spirit of the first Slayer is angered by the gang's attempt to aid Buffy against Adam, a cyborg demon creating a human-demon war. The first Slayer invades the dreams of the four friends and began extracting revenge in a manner derived from the spell itself. Willow, Spiritus. Willow's dream involved her appearing in a play she was unprepared for. The play is Willow Rosenberg's growth since the beginning of the series, the growth of the spirit. When Willow's softer side of Seer's self is revealed, she is attacked by the first Slayer. Willow's dream deals with secret names, hers, Terra's, or Miss Kitty Fantastico's, their cat. Willow is told that her new life is just a role. She's still the same shy girl we saw at the beginning of the series. Xander, Animus. Xander Harris's dream points up his conflict between being with the people he cares for and his lack of growth since leaving high school. High school is symbolized by Vietnam and Heart of Darkness. His feelings of being adult are expressed by Joyce, Buffy's mom, who playing a Mrs. Robinson role. And in parentheses, did anyone else go to a scary visual place? Xander saw himself as an ice cream truck driver who had no control as his girlfriend Anya drove the truck by gesturing emphatically. Xander's dream always returned to his basement apartment and something trying to burst down the stairs. Giles, Sophus. Rupert Giles faces the conflict of his dedication as a watcher and his desires to be a well-rounded person. We have seen different Giles than in earlier seasons. He celebrated both Halloween and Thanksgiving with his young friends. He even sang Behind Blue Eyes at the Espresso Pump coffee bar. His view of training Buffy looks to be like taking a ponytailed teenager to a carnival. But in other parts of his dream, he's with Olivia for singing at the Bronze. It is Giles who first realizes that it is the first Slayer who is hounding them. Buffy, Manus. It's Buffy Ann Summers who truly travels into the Heart of Darkness to face the first Slayer. Looking like an extra from The Search for Fire, the first Slayer is an aboriginal hunter, a primitive. In this dream, Adam, sans cybernetic corpse gear, planned world domination with Riley. She meets the first Slayer, who cannot speak and must borrow Tara's voice to do so. Buffy is able to resist the primitive because she knows that she is more than just a vampire slayer. She is a complete person, complete in spirit, heart, mind, and hand. Conclusion. While looking back over the changes which have taken place in the characters, Restless presented an exciting story which points as much to the future as the past. My perspective. What is it about this show that makes me tune in each Tuesday night? What is it about this show that is that it relates the secret adventures of a group of friends, cognizant that they are all that stands between the forces of evil and all that is good in the world? Buffy not only wants to be normal. Buffy only wants to be normal. Who hasn't felt that way? Her parents don't understand all she's going through. Her mother loves her and never gets the whole Slayer thing. Her only adult role model is a stodgy fellow with a violent past she cannot understand. The role of the Slayer intrudes upon every aspect of her life. Buffy Summers has danced upon the sword of Damocles. Not becoming a simple killing machine, not becoming an abuser for great power, not becoming nothing more than the title Slayer. Buffy is the coming of age heroine. Both Giles and Angel represent repentance of nature. Giles, rebelling against the confines of a Watcher heritage, goes wild as the Ripper, becoming a British sorcerer punk. It is the story of someone making up for their past mistakes. Buffy has the Scooby Gang. In his first battle with the Blonde Slayer, Spike, aka William the Bloody, was surprised to find a Slayer with friends. Xander is a slacker at school, but he regularly risks his life. Xander does not have Giles' arcane knowledge, Willow's acute computer and occult abilities, or Buffy's Slayer powers. The Zeppo was one of the best episodes in which Xander single-handedly saved his school, not only by facing zombies, but by facing his fear and learning what courage really means. Buffy the Vampire Slayer has allowed his viewers to glimpse into their lives. The characters on the show change. The Scooby Gang is not the Scooby Gang of their sophomore year, but his life. But his lifelike characters who have traveled through adversity. Angel, Buffy's spin-off, is a slicker show, but it deals with a variety of people. Buffy deals with a group of friends. Buffy the Vampire Slayer is a lifelike story of people who do what they can to survive and to make the world a less evil place. They do it with a sense of humor, and they do it with friendship.
Cheers.
I listen tonight for One True Note. I hear everywhere coins clatter, asses dropping into wooden seats. I am disappearing even now before the grime of my train ride, the prayers for soft voice, the spewy careen into dream. I know nothing now because I distrust knowledge. All is water, perfect, unknowable. All is dream breast. Life resumes again dryly every morning. Maybe at a moment, revelation. Maybe after that, extinction. Maybe twisted with this moment here. Maybe first everything, then nothing is clear. Or the kind of yes that quickly buds doubts. Or the kind of no that winks and dances past midnight. What will the gathered faces tell you? Several things you need not know? What will the music be when you finally suck the flame? What will you be when you finally shed your bed and your name? Tonight could be the night of revelation and extinction. Don't ask the trees. Don't flood the fields. Become the music again. It will bring you home. It will burn you down. Something soft, too. Something soft lacks. Here. Tonight could be the night when what reveals, what extinguishes, partners, mates, makers of the new coming. extinction, revelation, the way the morning light careens off hidden pond, the way the night urges the soul to play or charge, extinction and revelation, the turnpike's truths gull more every day with solutions of plastic, proclaimed by prophets of wood. Somewhere tonight love is freezing into habit, elsewhere tonight love is melting, love's over and gone. One lifetime nearly concluded, wheezing onto the bus, a metal walker, seat warning ahead to the final bed in the coffin. I've been waiting to love you all my life, but now the mirror must urge me to cease doubting. Tonight I am traveling to you. I know that. Revelation, extinction, water for the hopeless. Will you still be Cherry when I get there? Will I? Cherry Hill, New Jersey, on a night heavy with revelation and extinction. Full moon flirty shows one buttock tonight. If I don't find you soon, there's be a new wisdom will be time for me to school in. Revelation and extinction are just fancy words. Pretties for the brain. Cigarettes, chewing gum. Watching her dance that night open nearly every door. A rainbow the other day, its blank belly filled with bolts. What more? What else? This world is fat with miracles and woe. Fat with fire, with pain, with chocolate, with mace, with crowds around a water bowl, with solitary lords rich with echoes and bottled time. Revelation, extinction, how the blood is readying to come wildly. The freaks will never own the world. They preach of another, deeper. Proclaim how things shall be when they dance, when they smoke, when they board the crowded midnight bus, smiling, friends to all, friends to any. The freaks know revelation and extinction, cherry tomatoes in a window garden, a pocket full of photos from the mountain festival, stories of ghosts known and remembered, songs for you tonight, it will never ever be here again. The freaks will never own the world because they find extinction too funny and revelation too obvious. You can't sell a freak the city and its scripture. You can't scare a freak with threats of denial. The freaks will never own the world because they keep running away shouting, what world? Which one?
Yeah! Still alive.
Yeah.
It's good to hear your voice, man.
That's some stuff.
There we go.
I have it to give out
of hand. All right, Mark.
Mark, you're up.
You're up, Mark.
Okay. She got some thorough to throw around.
Throw some thorough.
Be thorough.
Right. Be thorough.
Be thorough.
Where'd the frogs go?
Throw is so radical, like we haven't really caught up with him.
Yeah. Read us something that we think about but haven't actualized.
Okay.
Read.
I've heard now within a few days that peculiar dreaming sound of the frogs, which belong to the summer, their midsummer night's dream. Only that thought and that expression are good, which are musical. I think that we are not commonly aware that man is our contemporary, that in this strange outlandish world, so barren, so prosaic, fit not to live but to merely pass through, that even here so divine a creature as man does actually live, man the crowning fact, the God we know. While the earth supports so rare an inhabitant, there is somewhat to cheer us. Who shall say there is no God if there is a just man? It is only within a year that it has occurred to me that there is such a being actually existing on the globe. Now I perceive that it is so. Many questions assume a new aspect. We have not only the idea and vision of the divine ourselves, but we have brothers, it seems. We have this idea also. Methinks my neighbor is better than I, and his thought is better than mine. There is representative of divinity on earth, of all things fair and noble are to be expected. We have the material of heaven here. I think that standing...
We have the material of heaven here. Thank you.
Yeah. I'll say that again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have the material of heaven here.
Yeah.
Fucking A.
Bunch of shit.
I'm sorry I started that, and I didn't mean to.
I think the standing miracle to man is man. Beyond the paling, yonder come rain or shine, hope or doubt, there dwells a man, an actual being, who can sympathize with our sublimest thoughts.
Don't do that to Thoreau. Don't do that to Thoreau.
Okay, I won't. I won't do that to Thoreau. I'm sorry, Henry.
He'll kick all our asses in our dreams. He really will. He'll be the avenging Thoreau of our nightmares.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Actually, I think
Al Gore
should step out of the way
and
let other people
want to
vote for
Damn skippy. Okay. Okay, let me finish. The revelations of nature are infinite.
I'm going to finish your throat. I'm just having you know, I'm going to be composing a song in my head for the rest of the season.
Jim, I have a question.
Just hold that conversation. Your time will come.
Jim, I have a question. If it's a silly comment to say that Gore should step out of the way for Nader, why is it not a silly comment to say Nader should step out of the way for Gore?
Because Nader has no chance of friggin' winning. He has 2 or 3% of the vote, let's face it.
Nader should step out of the way for Thoreau.
Yeah. I'll step out of the way for Thoreau.
Step out of the way for the angel.
That's right.
I declare myself apolitical. My life is not going to be changed over much by whoever the fuck gets it. I'm still going to struggle, still going to shit, still going to eat. And
yeah.
Anyhow.
But maybe not all right. In
that's good. Yeah.
Not in that order.
Struggle.
The Supreme Court's going to change. First, you're going to shit, then you're going to eat.
Yeah. Shit, then you're going to eat.
All right.
They've overturned the.
You're going to eat shit.
I'll be taking.
They've overturned the eat first rule.
Square shit.
You know, the eat first rule is not in the Constitution.
That's right. Strict constructionists do not believe in the eat first shit later rule.
Well,
the non-strict.
Jim,
will you say it is.
Oh, that's
my cigarette. Sorry.
I'm not doing real women. When I get out of here, I
want to smoke. All right. I'm sorry. Let's go on.
If a man does not keep step with his
commandments. Yeah. I'm sorry, Mark. We're being rude.
The revelation is here.
My song's gonna go.
What's it gonna be like when it's finally written?
Where's the hard pick?
Oh, you need a hard pick. Those little soft picks won't do.
No.
We must have hard picks. We can't have soft picks. We shall have no soft picks. No more.
Here's a man who lives a life of danger. He's sitting across from the table from the annual stranger.
Oh.
He's voting for that asshole neighbor. And he knows he could do much better. But odds are he won't live until tomorrow.
See, Quaker,
he's got a dialogue.
That's what your song would sound like if you had written it, if we haven't written it yet.
Sigurd Voter Man. Sigurd Voter Man.
Isn't that Sigurd?
But he watches Buffy.
Buffy 2000.
Woo-hoo! Buffy 2004.
Thank you for the drums. I appreciate this.
You gotta
read
some role. All right. Poor Henry. Poor
Henry's
been
abused.
Henry by the shack in the woods.
That's right.
Henry wasn't political. He refused to pay his poll tax and thought the Mexican
He wouldn't vote for Bush. <weren't he? laughs>
And there's Mark's
and there's the last
going.
Word.
There's the last word.
Still thinking of a song in my head. I'll get done.
It'll be done. We can't wait.
Keep at it.
All right. Are you going to go on?
Right.
Yeah. All right, Mark, go on.
I'm going to go on. All
right.
The revelations of nature are infinitely glorious and cheering, hinting to us of a remote future, of possibilities untold, but startlingly near to us someday, we find a fellow man. The frog had eyed the heavens from his marsh until his mind was filled with visions, and he saw more than belongs to this Fenny Earth. He mistrusted that
what
he...
What Earth? I'm sorry.
Fenny.
Fenny, how do you spell it?
F-E-N-N-Y.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
He mistrusted that he was become a dreamer and a visionary, leaping across the swamp to his fellow. What was his joy and consolation to find that he too had seen the same sights in the heavens. He too had dreamed the same dreams. From nature we turn astonished to this near but supernatural fact.
Wow. Fucking Henry, man. Yeah. We're all fucking down.
Local
thorough,
boy
man.
Makes good.
Yeah.
Henry.
Break out the rowdy foams, man. All right.
Thank you, Mark. That's
you modulated quietly. It is now time for you to elevate ecstatically.
All right. Let me see what I have here.
Had you done ecstasy before, by the way?
No, it's the first time.
I'm using ecstasy too.
That's bad. That. That's kind of quiet.
He's busting out the noise.
I'm busting out. Bust a rhyme.
Bust a rhyme.
Well, that's that.
You got
that's
back.
That. And that's that.
Oh.
I got the moth ball up my ass. Whatever that means.
Jim's composing. You got that evil look.
This is great.
This has great possibilities. Jim.
This is great because, like, 4 years ago when
Jim,
we sat here before the election, we didn't have this conflict. We didn't have this, like, Gore versus Nader thing going on. We were all going to vote for Clinton or whatever. But now we've got this, like, wonderful, like, interesting, you know, like, rowdy kind of difference of opinion.
All right, I think I'll be, like, real pseudo-poetic poem. I used to would like a cigarette.
That's the, what'd you call that cigarette? You call it the spit em outs?
Spitters.
There you go.
That's what camels, that's what camels do.
Jim's got a spitter too, but it's only legal in Switzerland.
Yeah. Jim, I'd like
Maybe
to share
Alaska.
Your spitter later.
Maybe Alaska,
sir? Maybe Alaska.
You say things about me I don't understand.
No, I want to share your spitter.
That's
don't take that too personally.
Oh, it's okay. I'm coming from you.
He doesn't dream about your spitter. Often.
Thank you for qualifying that.
It's the eat first, spit later rule.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, I'm going to read, this is going to be the last thing I'm going to read tonight. I mean, the last things, but there are three poems I'd like to read. This first one's called Late Train. Eventually, we're on the train to Wonderful, sitting three abreast, not shunting fate, not changing hats, not thinking sex, not taming time, but rolling right into a privileged darkness, crown of fire, heart inflamed, nothing remiss. And if the train pulls short, so be it. The music of this one ride is more than a young mind can stand. Deliverance boards each stop in godly personae, and glint on glass, in random chains of bliss and ruin that link this landscape into out. All aboard, people. Next stop, Nirvana, Acadia, Blue Mountain. You know the way, how steeply it rises, how suddenly it opens, bearing its viewers to love unexplored. An engine, some motion, a run of good rail. This passage is rising and soothes as it chastens. It's transport we seek, sure, clean and sweet. We'll make it. I see us. We're there.
Yeah.
This is called Unrequited. It's not that long, but it's a poem in three parts. Unrequited. The first part is called Nice Photo. This blue-green sea goes around nameless, yet it names you, names me, offers all its scent of salt and balsam, opens its tides twice nightly, seeks its caress, moving and memorial in swaying beds of kelp, level to the love it feels. And the creatures of love move in pairs, our photograph still before me. There's sun on our face, glints on our eye,
the ring of the ocean about us, as my arms then, thoughts now, reach to pull you close. Two, odd bird. Sitting in your sun porch, warm but not hot, a breeze drifting through, draping incense about. And my, what a nice perch to be in. No one sees you, yet you see green trees. And I see too clear, with a prick to the heart. It's only right that we're apart. So you say, and I guess, as a crow, black and vocal, crosses the sky. Three, next time. And the sea isn't wild or wide enough to hold this old torment. Full moon roosts, red and unreal, from where water joins sky, from where we sit on motel chairs and a screen porch hard by the waves. Your face and profile, unreal because unattainable, pale blue to my fire, but I won't let it break. I won't let it break me. And what doesn't work on the charm of this light, the sea swallows and washes away.
Fucking right, man.